Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, where we automate your systems, engage your customers, and help you grow your agency. And I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where it's our job to find the geniuses, innovators, movers, and shakers in the insurance industry, and to discern and deconstruct what they're doing to help you grow your agency. Today's guest is a longtime friend of mine in the industry, one of the great entrepreneurs in the industry. Richard Kerr is the chief executive officer of Market Scout. It is a Texas-based electronic insurance exchange that presents best-of-class certified market specialists to 35,000 members of its agency network across the United States. He's also chairman of Market Scout Wholesale, and he's the founder of the Entrepreneurial Insurance Alliance and the Entrepreneurial Insurance Symposium, which he hosts every year in September. It's an annual conference that explores and promotes entrepreneurialism in the insurance industry. And very recently, he founded the Market Scout InsurTech Venture Fund, which we discuss. So we cover three critical topics. Number one, we talk about what's happening with insurance pricing these days and why is it different than it used to be. Number two, we talk briefly about the role that Market Scout plays in the industry and how that what that says about the industry today. Obviously, it's grown very, very fast. And is probably the premier exchange in the United States today. And we also talk about InsurTech. I may or may not agree with exactly with his predictions of the impact of InsurTech on the industry. I have a chapter coming out in Wiley's book, Wiley, the international publisher, called The InsurTech Book. Unfortunately, I don't think I can send it to you because I think now it is the property of Wiley, but I will reach out to them because it does, to some extent, it shares my perspective that InsurTech can be your friend if properly embraced. I also present Agency Revolution, more or less its category, as a critical InsurTech offering for insurance agents in as much as it helps you automate certain communications and scale the delivery of ongoing value and meaningful relationships. So Richard and I will probably schedule a robust conversation between the two of us to talk about that. I'd love to hear your perspective on, do you agree with his perspective? Do you disagree? And if so, why? In any case, a very important conversation. Would love to hear your feedback. As always, you can reach out to me at Michael at Agency Revolution, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn. And also, as I have said before, if you have somebody you think is a genius or an innovator or mover or shaker in the insurance industry and you think I should be interviewing them, please let me know. Also, I will warn you, we had a little, a mild audio difficulty problem about 12 minutes and 45 seconds into the conversation. It lasts for maybe 15 or 20 seconds, so my producer might be able to clean it up, but might not. In any case, join us, warts and all, audio technical difficulties and all. Join Richard and I for an interesting conversation on what's happening in insurance today and what that might mean for your future. Thanks so much. Hello, Richard, and welcome back to another conversation. How are you?
I'm doing well, Michael.
All right. So you and I have done this a few times over the years. This is probably, I think, the first time we've done it in the Connected Insurance Podcast, but always One of our conversations has to do with something that I think you are the go-to guy in the industry, which is what's happening with insurance pricing, what's happening with premiums, what's happening in market conditions. I am an avid reader, a consumer of your monthly Market Scout barometer, and generally, when I was serving as in a leadership position at Agency Revolution, I would make sure that I forwarded that to the team because I wanted everybody to know this is what your prospects and customers are experiencing. So this month, this is the kind of stuff that's happening in their life because when the market swings, everybody feels it. So real quick, let's start with that. What's your overview on what's happening with insurance pricing these days?
Well, as you know, Michael, we've been publishing the market barometer for about 15 years now, and it is very widely followed. I think largely because it's a bit different than some of the other prognosticators that look and try and review what rates are doing or pricing for various insurance products are, in that it not only utilizes a survey approach, but the survey approach is an in-person survey as opposed to an electronic survey. So we get a little bit better results from that. And it also is based upon individual rates and placements of coverages in real time, both new and renewal. And it does take into consideration changes in exposures. So that makes it a lot more solid.
Well, and for those who aren't familiar with the Market Scout barometer, you also slice it and dice it. So as I recall, you've got your barometer on personal lines, you've got your barometer on commercial lines, and then you slice it and dice it by region, you slice it and dice it by class of business, you slice it and dice it by size, category of size. So you provide a lot of detailed information, and you do it every single month, right?
That's correct. So we do slice it and dice it because, as everyone knows, based upon your geographic territory, the type of coverage, or the industry group, it varies. What homeowners pricing is doing in Massachusetts certainly is probably going to be different than it is in Los Angeles,
right?
Based upon various events. So I liken the barometer and how it's tracking to the wine country. You know, you go 5 miles to the north or the south, you get a completely different grape and different results. So it's very much the same here, and that's what we do. We break it down by industry group, by coverage, and by size of account. Then we additionally break it down by geography.
All right. So obviously, you know, so for the sake of this discussion, let's make some generalizations. You and I have been in the industry long enough to have seen some pretty wild swings. Okay. We've seen some dramatic hard market swings, and we've seen some long, painful soft market swings. And it seems like we haven't seen that for a while. So I want to ask you, what is your sense of what is happening to insurance pricing now, and is it different than it was, you know, let's say 10 and 20 years ago?
Well, the wild gyrations are not as intense as they were 10 or 20 years ago. I mean, there used to be times, 15, 20 years ago, where you would have market renewals on average going up 15, 20, 25%, and then they would go down 10, 15%. And
right.
The gyrations were all over the board. We don't see that anymore, and we probably won't in any time in the near future. Now, we're going to see market changes,
right?
But because of the software technologies and, you know, the very, very technical insurance underwriting tools, it's a lot less likely that we'll see those wild gyrations.
So in general, I think you're saying that insurance pricing is leveling off to some extent. So do you think as an industry, we're simply smarter about pricing?
Well, we're definitely smarter about pricing.
Okay.
And, you know, taking property risk and cat modeling and cat tracking software. And, you know, if you are an MGA writing property accounts, you pretty much can't do it unless you have some cat modeling software that enables your underwriting partner to know where their exposures are and if they're getting overlined in a particular area. And that largely keeps people out of trouble. However, if you have multiple hurricanes or wildfires or earthquakes, you're still going to take on losses. And if the industry as a whole takes on a lot of losses, it's going to move the market. And that's what we're seeing, and particularly in cat-based property. That market into early 2018 is going to start to move, and there will be rate increases.
Okay. All right. So we did suffer some pretty serious cat losses. So there were some killer storms, and there were some really, really serious fires. I know, having recently moved from Oregon, how serious and long-lasting some of the fires were. So what do you think, what kind of an impact do you think that's going to have moving forward?
Well, there's some discussion that the impact from these property losses could extend over into the liability sector. I don't really see that. We don't see any indication of it, but we certainly see property rates starting to trend upwards, particularly in the cat-exposed areas. So if you're in a cat-exposed area and you had a loss, you're going to get a significant rate increase.
It
may be 10, 15, 20%. If you're just a general property account, not in a cat-exposed area, you'll probably get a rate increase of maybe 1 or 2%, if that.
Got it. All right. Other than property, are there other areas and categories where you think we may see some noticeable change in the coming year?
It's not as easy to forecast, but generally speaking, into 2018, we would say the renewals of like-kind business would more likely be upwards in rates than downwards. So while the probability of a rate decrease over the last 2 or 3 years has been pretty strong, that's going to start moderating a lot into 2018. So generally speaking, if I had a book of business, I would anticipate on average a small rate increase across the board for my budgeting purposes as opposed to a rate decrease. And that, of course, is good for retail agents.
Yeah, small increases are generally pretty good news, right? And it's those large increases that might kind of seem like they're good news, but they're awfully painful for people to sustain.
Well, they are painful because sometimes if the market really starts heading that direction, for a retail agent, it's going to go out of your admitted market contracts. So you lose that business,
right,
which is, and if you're going to go into non-admitted, you're going to make a lesser commission, and you're going to have less volume with the carrier that probably has a profit commission plan with you. So while the premium may be going up, your income may be going down.
Right. Okay. and you have customers who are not happy. So, okay. So is there anything else you think in terms of premiums and market conditions, availability of capacity, for example, that agents and brokers should be thinking about in regards to their strategy moving forward?
The only other area there's a lot of moving parts right now, but traditionally workers' compensation has really been competitive, and it's still extremely competitive right now. However, there's a few insurance companies that are struggling with, redundant loss reserves. AmTrust has had a couple of issues, and a smaller company down in Florida, Guarantee National, is having its own problems. And whenever these things start hitting the market, it could impact workers' compensation and ultimately have the rates start flattening out or maybe even moving the other way. But we really don't see that happening probably until the end of 2018.
Okay, so that's a ways away. Now, is that nationwide or is that, I know that comp sometimes has wild regional fluctuations. Where do you see that happening?
It is regional, and it depends upon, you know, what rates are promulgated by the states, and where you're at, how things are working out. So each state is a different play in and on its own. California is certainly different from Texas, and Illinois would be different again. So you're right about that.
Okay. All right. So in a moment, Richard, I'm going to ask you what other forces, trends, and changes you see impacting the industry and how that might affect the retail agent and broker. But before we do that, I want to ask you to tell a little bit of the Market Scout story. It seems to me that the success of Market Scout, first of all, it's a story that should be told, and it's a fascinating story. But I'm also wondering if it, if there might be a moral of the story. Does it say anything about the industry that you've been so successful? So tell us a lot of, obviously a lot of our listeners know Market Scout. I have no doubt that a lot of our listeners probably are regular, from the retail agent side, they're users of Market Scout, but tell us what it is. Well, tell us the Market Scout story.
Well, we're involved in a lot of different things, but predominantly we make our money as an MGA or a wholesale broker. Primarily as a program manager or an MGA. Mm-hmm. The things we do, such as the Market Barometer, the annual entrepreneurial symposium, and the formation of the Council for Insuring Private Clients, are all to support and help our retail agent partners.
Richard, I lost you there for a second. Are you there?
All right, I'm back.
Yeah, okay, got it. All right.
Okay. Where were we?
Well, so I know that you deliver the barometer month after month, and I suspect that, like me, a lot of people are regular consumers of it just to sort of give them a window on where things are headed. I am also aware that every year for the last several years, you've hosted the Entrepreneurial Symposium. Now, for those who don't know, what that is, tell us what are you attempting to do with that?
Yeah, so the barometer, the symposium, the Council for Insuring Private Clients are all things we do to help our retail agent partners get better at what they do. So the symposium is now entering its 12th year, and it's a gathering of individuals that come in and talk about their entrepreneurial experiences. People that have started agencies, insurance companies, CEOs of major insurance companies sharing their personal stories and talking about what they did right, what they did wrong, and what they do different again if given the opportunity. So it's a really unique setting where it's very innovative and entrepreneurial based. You get to hear from a lot of industry leaders. We always have a major wholesale broker, a major retailer, and various insurance company executives come in and just not talk about their companies necessarily, right, but right. Talk about their personal experiences.
Uh-huh.
And we always wrap it up with a Shark Tank where we have about 50 to 60 entrepreneurs submit their new ideas. We winnow that down to the top 7 or 8, and they do a traditional Shark Tank presentation where the crowd picks the winner. And the winners of that Shark Tank have all gone on to get funded by various private equity firms and be really successful. So that's a lot of fun.
That's exciting. Okay. So the winner is picked by the audience, but then of course that gives probably a lot of credibility to the entrepreneur and to the company and helps them.
It does.
In their fundraising. Okay. So in terms of Market Scout, Richard, did you start it?
Yes, I started it back in 2000. I was chairman and CEO of the U.S. operations of a public company out of the U.K. named Lambert Fenchurch, and left there in the dawn of the Internet age, and we launched it as a an insurance exchange utilizing the web to connect retail agents to markets, and it largely is still the same thing. So we use a lot of technology to help us and our agents, but basically the concept is if I'm a retail agent in Idaho,
right,
and I get an opportunity on a railroad, I probably don't have a market or a knowledge of where to go. I can log on to Market Scout, click on Idaho, click on railroads, and be connected with a specialty railroad MGA to help me through this. Now, that specialty railroad MGA may be owned by Market Scout. It may not.
Right. Okay.
Frankly, we're only good at about 10 or 11 things. So there are hundreds of industry classes and other coverage specialties. So we post some of our friendly competitors that we feel are best of class,
right,
for railroads or helicopters or whatever it may be, so that the agent can come in and he finds one spot where all of his specialty market need solutions are. And that's proven to be a really successful model for us.
So you use the term exchange. And I suspect if we went far enough back in time, nobody would know what you're talking about. But even now, is that, did you create that term, or was that, were you copying a model? Because
it seems like you hear the term a lot now.
But now you do, right.
Back at, yeah. So the exchange is one that we created just under the concept that we're trying to connect specialty carriers and MGAs with retailers.
Right.
And it's just, even today, if you're a good independent retail agent and a producer walks in and says, hey, I just got a risk. I know I'm in Los Angeles, but I have a risk for a chicken farm in Arkansas. Well, you wouldn't know where to go.
Yeah, okay.
Right. This gives you that solution.
Uh-huh.
And because if that independent agent would call some of the massive wholesale brokers, all of whom are great folks, but they rightfully are giving all their love and attention to the mega broker, and they don't have time to worry about you and your chicken farm.
Right.
This way, you come into Market Scout, and you're just connected with someone that lives, breathes, and eats chicken farms. And that's a good thing for the agent. It's a good thing for the consumer. It's a good thing for everyone.
Got it. All right. So I know that, clearly, Richard, you kind of, walk your talk, right? So, you honor entrepreneurism in the industry. You host the Entrepreneurial Symposium once a year. But clearly, you had an entrepreneurial drive of your own to create this. So now, there's another thing that I know that you're involved in, and I think it's probably also got an important story to tell. You have launched fairly recently an InsurTech fund. Tell us what you're trying to do with that and where that idea came from.
Well, we've been studying, technology and insurance since the formation of the company in 2000, and certainly have made a lot of mistakes along the way. But what that's done is create some really good intellectual capital inside our firm,
right,
in that we are able to see what works and what should. So InsurTech is basically the 2017 version of .com in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
As you'll recall, we had .com came along and everybody was going to get rich selling insurance over the web.
Right.
All the retail agents were going to be dead. Everybody's going to buy their insurance over the web. And largely that was not true, because many of those plans were misaligned. So now we come into 2017 and InsurTech is here. It took a while, but I believe that now the industry is probably going to get it right. And the scary part about that is, for a retail agency, especially a generalist doing commodity type business, you really need to pay attention to this, because InsurTech is enabling the industry as a whole,
mm-hmm,
to come in and take commodity type programs and technology and go in a more direct basis from the manufacturer to the buyer. That means the insurance company to the insured. And if they can do that in a way that takes out that distribution fee, or at least part of it, they're going to do it. Case in point, commodity products like renter's insurance.
Okay.
And while I know they have a lot of challenges, but there are companies like Lemonade and others that are coming along. So effectively, within 18 months, if you're buying renter's insurance, you will not use a retail agent. Soon, you probably will be able to buy BOPs, traditional workers' compensation, homeowners' policies. You already can buy auto. Those type of things are starting to happen. So the technology is there for it. The reason we started the MIT Market Scout InsurTech Fund is because we see that as a way for the future. And we're going to invest in it heavily because these type of things are just coming. And I can give you several examples. I mean, some of them are really silly, but you really back up and look at it. There's so much inefficiency in the way we distribute a lot of these products that it is going to change. So for the retail agent, who are all my friends and your friends, and who we are here to support, I think for the first time, I've been speaking with retail agents and trying to help them for 30 years. For the first time in 30 years, I see a real threat. So if you are a commodity retail agent, and that means just doing Main Street business, and most of your policies are, you know, under $5,000 in premium, and it's pretty traditional stuff. You need to be afraid. This is the real deal, and it's something you've got to address now. And either you need to get on the bus in some way, or you're going to get run over by it. And your agency, which is worth today, whatever, $5 million, might be worth $500,000 in 3 years.
Okay, so
and so to that end, if you're thinking about it, and somebody's offering you 10 times EBITDA, sell your agency.
Yeah,
I mean, things can change real quick on you.
All right, so you said maybe not, for some agencies now's the time to be afraid. After the fear settles in, then obviously there should be some strategic response as well. What kind of strategic direction do you want to give to the retail agency force?
So, you know, the old way of selling, let's call it commodity products. Now, these are the easy things.
Right.
Was banging on doors. You've got to get involved where you have an app or you have a technology solution. If you're selling, homeowners policies for in the home, average home is $300,000. If you can figure out a way to do that electronically faster, quicker, and easier, that's the way to go.
Right.
So you've either got to deploy a technology solution with an app or specialize. What's not going to be attacked, at least in any time soon, is if you are a specialty retail agent that does animal mortality, or if you do specialty products liability for aircraft manufacturing or life science. That's a good spot to be because it takes high degree of technical expertise, and those type of things will not be attacked by the InsurTech wave for some time.
Got it. All right. So, Richard, what are the kinds of enterprises or activities that you're interested in funding with your InsurTech fund? And I'm not sure, have you funded any yet? Do you have any projects that you've invested in?
We launched in August. We have two that we're very close to. We've looked at probably 200. There's a lot of misaligned plans out there, and a lot of the problems are you have some smart technology folks that come out, but they just don't understand insurance. And they don't understand, you know, regulations and things of that nature. So you have to winnow through those. We have two we're looking at closely, but largely what we're wanting to invest in is either what we call full stack opportunities, which is you can not only underwrite, but you can distribute, sell everything through one channel, or just pure distribution. In other words, there's a better, faster, quicker way to distribute a product that may remove 5% from the distribution chain. So if you take 5 points out of the expense load for a traditional insurance company, it's massive.
Right.
I mean, you're probably looking at only 2 or 3 points underwriting profit as it is. So if you could take another 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, that's going to get a lot of attention.
That's huge.
So that's what we're looking at.
All right.
We're looking there.
Okay. So before we wind up, if you let's just sort of look to the future. If you could kind of paint an image or a picture of how you see insurance, it's a little bit of a fool's game to predict the future. But if we said 3 or 5 years down the road, how is this industry different than it is today?
You will have, again, the commodity products will be purchased either in a web browser or on an app on your phone.
Uh-huh.
It'll be done in a very expeditious fashion. There will be retail agents involved, but they will be the ones that are running and administering the process in a much different environment than they are today. And then you will also see very vibrant, growing, profitable retail agents that have specialized.
Ah, got it. All right. So if you were going, so if you're going to issue one message, like you, I'm going to give you the soapbox to stand on for a moment, and preach or say something of importance to the retail industry. What does Richard stand for right now? What's your message?
If you have a cluster of business, be it a cluster of chicken farms, tree trimmers, or things of that nature, try to figure out a way to put a program together and put an underwriting facility with a carrier where you are in control of that facility. Either do it that way or partner with an MGA that can help you do it and focus on that specialty. The summary is specialize, specialize, specialize.
Got it.
Either specialize with a 3 or 4 great insurance companies in your industry,
mm-hmm.
or get with a company, build a program where you're the underwriting agent and specialize in that fashion. That's where the real future is going to be. Insurance buyers, we're looking at one insurtech deal, which will literally connect insurance buyers
right.
to specialty retail agents in the same venue as an Angie's List does with contractors.
Ah, got it. Fascinating. All right.
So
if listeners want to find out more about you or what Market Scout is and does and what it can offer them, how should they do that?
We're very interested in helping retail agents, and we're really interested in listening to people that have great ideas and want to venture out and try and do something, and we're here to help them either with advice or with financial support.
Right.
So they can reach out to us by simply, they can send me an email at rkerr@marketscout.com.
Okay.
R-K-E-R-R.
R-K-E-R-R at marketscout.com. And so can we include in that list serious insurtech style entrepreneurs who might also want to get your attention?
Absolutely.
Okay, got it. All right. Richard, as always, it's been insightful, and I think this has been an important conversation, so I do hope people listened carefully. I want to thank you for sharing time with us today.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking Media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.